Signs are emerging that the Scott Morrison government's about face on the position of our embassy in Israel is damaging our most important regional relationship, our relationship with Indonesia. Leaked text messages screened on Channel 7 News last night from the Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi to her counterpart Maurice Payne warn that the possible relocation of the embassy to Jerusalem would be, quote, a really big blow to Indonesia, which is a staunch supporter of a Palestinian state. This comes as a number of Arab nations released a statement decrying the manoeuvre as detrimental to the Palestinian cause and damaging to the peace process. Penny Wong is the Shadow Foreign Minister. She's in our Parliament House studios. Senator Wong, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Good to be with you again.
In the WhatsApp message trail that went to air on Channel 7, there are a number of messages from Retno Marsudi to Maurice Payne complaining that the policy switch on Jerusalem, quote, would be a slap in the face to Indonesia that would, quote, affect bilateral relations. So even if the government doesn't end up pushing ahead with this, what's your view? Has damage been done yet?
Absolutely it has.
Or is this just politicking?
No, absolutely it has. Look, and we regret that deeply. Look, this is the price that Australians are paying. These leaked messages demonstrate the price that Australians are paying for this Prime Minister, Mr. Morrison's selfishness. I mean, there's a bloke who puts politics first, good government second every single time, and he's put the Liberal Party before the nation. I've said before, this is a decision which is not only contrary to a long-standing position, a bipartisan position. It was a decision made without going to cabinet, against long-standing advice, without consideration of the damage to our friends and neighbours, frankly, without consideration of the national interest. The only thing the Prime Minister, Mr. Morrison, was thinking about was the seat of Wentworth and his own political interests.
Just on the without going to cabinet and without going to advice, you don't know, do you? The Prime Minister didn't seek advice. He's told us he's spoken to the key members of the National Security Committee of Cabinet. We know he spoke with the Trade Minister, he spoke with the leadership group.
Well, to make a decision to overturn a decade-long held position, a bipartisan position, you would have thought cabinet consideration would be required. We asked Senator Payne this, and it was very clear, frankly, from her answer, the matter did not go to cabinet. If that's wrong, then yeah, I invite the Prime Minister to come out and say so. But whatever process, it is clear that the long-standing advice from agencies, Julie Bishop's position, Malcolm Turnbull's position, and until a short time ago, Scott Morrison's position, was that this was not the right thing for Australia. And I think, regrettably, overnight, we have seen some of the damage his political selfishness has caused. You know, do you remember Scott Morrison told Australians he was going to wear a lapel pin, Fran? Lapel pin with the flag on it to remind himself whose side he was on? Well, he might have been better off looking at that before he made this decision.
Well, the Prime Minister's response to that, I think, from what we heard yesterday, was he's on the side of Australia. We are a sovereign state and we have a right to consider things and make changes if we want to. The Australian-Indonesia relationship is notoriously difficult. You know, we've had many high-profile differences in the past, and as the PM says, the relationship's strong enough to have different views at times.
And I do agree that the relationship is strong enough to have different views at times. But to inflict harm on a relationship and inflict harm on Australians' relationships and, frankly, how others perceive us for a short-term domestic political interest is political selfishness and political recklessness from someone who is supposed to be looking to the interests of the nation.
Could short-term political interest be playing a part in the Indonesian response too, though, in a sense? I mean, we all know that with elections coming up, there's a push by Islamic hardliners in Indonesia to have more control over policy.
I'm not going to get into commentary about Indonesian domestic politics, but I would make the
but
point.
But it could be seen in that, it should be seen in that context, surely.
I would make the point that we also need to be sensitive to how things might be communicated and might be understood in the context of our regional partners. And I think this does go again to the recklessness and the risk that Scott Morrison, the recklessness he's shown, the selfishness he's shown, but also the risk that he's been prepared to to have in the context of relationships which are important to our security and are important to Australians economically.
The future of the resolution of the Israel-Palestinian, any kind of peace agreement, a two-state solution is obviously critical, and Australian major parties have had a bipartisan approach on this. The opposition wasn't told in advance of this controversial announcement. Have you received a briefing since from Foreign Affairs?
No, we have not, and we certainly intend, Senate Estimates is, I think, next week, and we certainly intend to be asking many questions about this, as you would anticipate. But you do make an important bipartisan point. I think the relationship with many nations, but certainly with Israel, would benefit and has benefited from bipartisanship. And it is really disappointing to see the way in which this government has been prepared to open up a partisan position for perceived political advantage. I don't think that is conducive to progressing a two-state solution, which I think everybody would want.
Do you think it will ever happen? Do you think the relocation of the Australian embassy to West Jerusalem and recognition of Jerusalem as the legitimate Israeli capital will ever happen?
Look, that could only happen, in my view, in the context of a final resolution and of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and in the context of a two-state solution as part of that settlement. It is a final status issue, as I think Julie Bishop said on many, many occasions. But if you're asking me, do I think Scott Morrison will ever deliver on this? No, I don't. I think he's floated this idea. He's used words such as consider, review our position, in order to generate a story without locking himself down before the Wentworth by-election. So not only is this a reckless decision, not only is this a risky decision, it is also a deeply cynical decision.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Shadow Foreign Minister, Penny Wong. She's also the leader of the opposition in the Senate. Speaking of the Wentworth by-election, if the Liberal Party do lose, it would be an enormous blow, obviously, to the government in sort of political and psychological terms, but it would also lose its majority on the floor of the Parliament. How strong will the temptation be for Labor to test those numbers on the floor? Is there a plan?
Well, let's get through the by-election first. And I think that the issue...
Is Labor running dead in the by-election to try and get...
Well, I was out there, I think it was last week, with Tim campaigning, so I don't think that's running dead. But look, I think the problem for Scott Morrison and the Liberal Party with this by-election is simply this. Scott Morrison and his government's values don't reflect the values of Wentworth. So the reason they're in trouble isn't because of any, political strategy or any particular independent or any particular candidate. The fundamental reason they're in trouble in a seat which is a very, very safe Liberal seat, the fundamental reason why is they do not share the values of the community. I mean, this is an electorate that wants action on climate change. This is an election where the overwhelming majority voted for marriage equality. And those sorts of values, and this is an electorate, frankly, which supports the ABC. And we've seen from this government and from the people in it time and time again, drag kicking and screaming on issues of equality. They refuse to act on climate change, even in the face of the recent report, and have made it their business to reduce funding to and attack this ABC.
It's also an electorate concerned about the fate of refugees and asylum seekers on Nauru and Manus Island. Pressure's been building in the government on the government over this. The circuit breaker offered by Scott Morrison is the notion of the New Zealand offer to take 150 refugees if Labor and the Greens pass, or if Labor passes the travel ban bill, which would mean that if you did get to go New Zealand, you could never step foot in Australia. Why wouldn't Labor just say yes to that, get the people off Nauru and Manus onto New Zealand where they would be happier and have some hope, and then if you do win government, unwind that visa ban?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, this offer has been on the table for years.
Why not do it?
Well, under successive New Zealand governments, and yet again, Scott Morrison is putting politics before good government.
Fran,
there is no reason other than Scott Morrison's own political interests, where he's trying to give himself cover for reversing a position that they should have taken in past years to resettle the people on Manus and Nauru. He's trying to give himself cover by suggesting that we should put in place a legislation which gives people a lifetime ban. Now, you wanted to see why this is a reckless idea? Have a look at what Winston Peters, the Foreign Minister of New Zealand, said yesterday, where he expressed deep concern about this.
I understand this,
point,
but...
Well, let me, if I may finish, and said that New Zealand could not accept or did not wish to accept second-class citizens, a second class of citizenship. I mean, that really demonstrates yet again precisely what we've been talking about through this interview.
I'm not suggesting that Labor would lead that in place if that's not your policy, but you've passed the TPP legislation and you say you don't agree with that and you'll try and change some of it.
That is very different. That is very different. I mean, the TPP legislation was passed, but we know there are aspects of the agreement that we have to negotiate as side letters. What you're asking us to do is to support legislation that is completely unrelated, other than in Scott Morrison's political calculation, legislation completely unrelated to the resettlement arrangement.
Just finally, can I just get your view? I wonder what you think as you watch on, and the National Party seems to be looking at tearing down its leader. Mm. Michael McCormick could face a challenge. We read as early as next week, Barnaby Joyce has indicated if he's asked, he'd be happy to do it, but he's not counting numbers or agitating. Given the circumstances surrounding the resignation of Barnaby Joyce, what's your view? Has he spent enough time on the sidelines?
Well, I think the more important issue is they're fighting again, isn't it? And I think it's an example of the coalition, whether it's the Liberal Party, which was just a little while ago, or the National Party this week, putting themselves before the nation.
Penny Wong, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to speak with you, Frank.
Penny Wong is Shadow Foreign Minister. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:17.